Luke chapter 6. Jesus went through the cornfields, and his disciples were picking the ears of corn and eating, because they were rubbing them in their hands. That's to get the sort of flour out. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what's not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" So there they were, walking across a cornfield, and the law of Moses said that if you walk through someone else's corn, you could, if you were very poor, pick the heads of corn and rub them together and eat the flour from them, but you couldn't go and harvest it. So that shows how poor Jesus and the disciples were. They weren't making money out of their religion. They were poor people. And these Pharisees were awful. They watched these people, these disciples, from the other side of the cornfield. And they were saying, "You're not allowed to do that on the Sabbath because that's working." Now, that's what you call legalism. That's when people twist everything to say, this is the letter of the law, you broke it, you're bad, and I'm so righteous because I don't do that. And Jesus replied to them, "Have you never read as much as this, what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he went into the sanctuary of God and took and ate the showbread," that's the holy bread that they had in the tabernacle, "and gave to those who were with him, which it was not lawful to eat, but only for the priests. And he said to them, 'But the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.'" So what that shows then is that, David and his men, who were from the tribe of Judah, they weren't Levites, could come and eat that showbread because they were hungry, because they were doing God's work, running away from Saul. You've got to be careful. You can't say, God said certain things and we can just break his law when we want. And that's what led David into his big sin with Bathsheba, I think. But it's also true that God is not interested in just testing us to see whether we're just going to be obedient. He wants to have a relationship, a friendship with us. And so it's not like it was, let's say, in the Roman Empire where a man would buy a slave and would test how obedient the slave was by taking a spoon, and he'd drop the spoon and the servant would pick it up and give it back to him. Then he'd drop the spoon again, make the slave pick it up again, give it back to him, drop it again, make him pick it up again, just to see how obedient he was. God's not like that. He doesn't just want to make us to do things just for the sake of it. And so there is what we could call the spirit of the law. And it happened on another Sabbath that Jesus entered into the synagogue and was teaching, and there was a man whose right hand was withered, it was paralyzed. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him. How awful it is to have critical people always watching you. And I'm sure we've all had that at some time. And when we do go through it, you can remember Jesus, because all of our situations and temptations he had in some form. So there they were watching him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day so that they could accuse him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the paralyzed hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus to them, "I will ask you something. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" So what he means is that if he had not done that miracle, he'd be doing evil. So you can see there what we could call sins of omission. What I mean by that is that you may come to the end of a day and think you did nothing wrong, that I didn't steal, I didn't say bad words, but if you saw someone who was in need on the street and you walked past them, so an old lady who slipped on the ice and is lying there on the street, and you just walked past her, you get home and you may think, "I did nothing wrong." Well, maybe, but you omitted to do what you should have done. And so Jesus is saying, if I had not cured that man on the Sabbath, I would have done evil. A lot of our sins, I think, are in that sort of category of omitting to do what we should do. Looking round on all of them, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and he did so, and his hand was restored whole like the other. You can imagine him comparing his two hands, and everyone in the synagogue gasping like, wow. And they, and I presume That's the scribes and Pharisees. They were filled with madness and discussed what they might do to destroy Jesus. So you see the power of jealousy. They saw that he had the power of God, that God was with him, and yet they just wanted to criticize him and pull him down. In those days, Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now ask yourself, how long have you ever kept praying at any one time? Maybe not more than 10 minutes. But Jesus prayed all night to God. And Luke seems to like recording these times when Jesus goes out on his own at night or early morning to pray to God on his own. And it's a really big lesson that we shouldn't just pray to God when other people are praying to God and we say Amen, but that we ourselves must always, as a law of our lives, find that time to be alone with God in prayer. So he prayed all night, and in the morning he called to him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he called apostles. So clearly what he'd been praying about was wisdom as to whom he should call to be these 12 disciples. He would have discussed with God, well, this one could be good on that point, but not on that point. This one is a bit proud, but he might change. This one is a bit too materialistic, too worried about wealth, or whatever it was. So he discussed this with God all night. So these are the names of the 12. Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, who was also the traitor.
He betrayed Jesus.
That's right, he betrayed Jesus. And you see what a different mix of people they were. There was Matthew, who we read in the last chapter, was a tax collector. And the Jews hated people like that because they thought they're not very patriotic. They're sort of on the side of our enemies. And then there was this one called Simon the Zealot. These were people who went around killing the Romans. And so Matthew and Simon, called the Zealot, were totally different people. And so in the church, amongst the disciples of Jesus, totally different people are called. And it is one of the great proofs of Christianity that true believers from all sorts of backgrounds are made one around Jesus.